Welcome to the Nate KG Podcast, a show dedicated to exploring the nuances of jump rope, where I talk with jumpers of all skill levels, backgrounds, and fitness goals. On this episode, I speak with L.A. Sarmiento. L.A. is a jumper in the Philippines and a previous student of mine. I've spent a good amount of time coaching L.A., but this is the first time we really had a long chat, and boy, did he deliver. We dive deep into a lot of topics, including how L.A. has managed his asthma with sports, his experience with competitive tennis and how that has influenced his jumping, why trial and error is foundational to both jump rope and programming, maintaining an optimistic mindset, and a bunch more. All the show notes for this episode can be found over at natekg.com. And now, please enjoy this awesome conversation with L.A. Sarmiento. L.A., welcome to the show, my man. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, Coach Nate. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. How are you?
I am good. I'm really good. I'm really pumped to chat with you. We've definitely talked a lot online and offline, and I definitely want to dig into your jump rope journey, and I think a great place to begin would be where you're from and where you grew up.
So I was born in Los Angeles in West Covina, California, USA. And at a very, very young age, we immediately moved back to the province here in the Philippines, which is a city called Naga in Bicol region, which is around 8 to 12 hours away from the capital city of the Philippines, which is in Manila. I continuously studied in my college in the De La Salle University in Taft, and I lived there ever since.
Nice, man. That's really cool. What did you study at university? Or what are you currently still at university?
Yeah, I'm currently still at university.
Gotcha.
So I'm currently studying computer information systems in De La Salle University. At the same time, I'm part of the De La Salle multi-sport team.
Gotcha. So what do you do on the multi-sport team?
So in the La Salle multi-sport team, we have these four events, which is swimming, cycling, running, and obstacle course racing. So usually the swimming and cycling and running is usually the triathlon part. And what we do is we constantly do participate in events such as, of course, a triathlon, which is in like Vermosa Triathlon. And in the obstacle course racing, we participate in Spartan races. And also in La Salle Multisport, we also entertain other sports such as what I do, jump rope, and other forms of physical exercises that we do.
That's really neat. So you're really working on it, and you've done a lot of different sports. So those specific activities, did you start doing them when you went to university, or have you been doing that for a long time?
Well, actually, Coach, I'm a lawn tennis player. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, I've talked about that.
Yeah, it is. And I've been competing ever since I was a kid. I'm coached by my dad. And I went through, competing around the Philippines. Ever since that, I've been thinking, what if I try other sports? And multisport has really been welcoming, because any sport you do, you get entertained, and
yeah,
it's called multisport for a reason.
And
usually after we do our academic sessions in De La Salle University, I usually head out to the pool, meet my teammates, and it's a very, very fun community since we always get along, usually every day, usually around weekends with them participating and making ourselves better athletes every time.
That's really neat, man. So the tennis thing, I want to go down that route. Because
yeah, I want to go down that route too. Yeah,
yeah, because tennis was actually the first sport that I played, because my dad is really, really big into tennis. So I've been playing that since I think the first time. I mean, I think it's 2 years old, which, I mean, I don't know how much you can say that I was playing at that age, but I definitely had a racket in my hand. So it's very much a big, big part of my life. What was, what are your kind of earliest memories or your earliest moments in the sport of tennis?
So I started around 8 to 9 years old. I was coached by my father, which is also a tennis player. We're actually a family of tennis players.
And nice. Yes.
I go on to start my journey as, sometimes I was a ball boy for my father and my brothers.
Nice. And, yeah, they're like, all right, you're not playing, but you got to get to work.
Yeah, it starts with there, right? So you get the analogy of how the game works. You get to see how the scoreboards work. Usually as a kid, I was, how is it 15, 30, 40? Is there any background with it? And day by day, year by year, my dad got me involved in the world of tennis. So I was a competitive tennis player. We competed in divisions, in regionals, and as well as the nationals. So I've been doing that since I was in first grade.
You've really been doing it a lot. Wow, yeah. That's really awesome, man.
Yes. And also since I had like an asthma disease, or like I was treated by asthma, I had to be constant in the sport so that, so my father kept on pushing me to become a competitive tennis player, since a lot of opportunities would get to you once you become really good at the sport, you know the sponsors, and after that, I kept competing, traveling around the Philippines, going to the Zone of Visayas, Mindanao, different islands of the Philippines. And one thing that kept me on mind is how I can go on and level up the competitiveness level, because tennis is not just a physical sport, but it's mainly mental. You know, you see the likes of Novak Djokovic being how he focuses on these kind of situations. And for me, lawn tennis has changed my life, because it also made me meet the sport of jump rope. So
interesting. Yeah. How did that play out?
So usually our coaching sessions back when I was currently still as a competitive tennis player, it's 2 hours. It's divided into two. So 1 hour each. The first 1 hour, you'll be focusing on having no racket in your hand. So it's all footwork drills. It's all baseline size, side steps, sprinting towards the court, towards the net, going back. And one thing I really love in that 1 hour warm up session or the drill, as it is the jump rope scene, because, you know, actually I hated it at first, but I hate it at first, but it practices your coordination, because as we can see in the tennis, we have this term called split step,
yes,
which is kind of equivalent to one regular bounce or one skip step when we do our jump ropes. Practices my coordination on the court. It also practices on the mental side, because you have to move your feet freely. Once you become stationary, the ball would just, you know, pass over you, and your opponent would take advantage of your footwork and your flaws in the game. So, jump rope has really helped me as an athlete, tennis athlete mostly, back in my competitive days. Because what you usually do is, we have this long rope. We don't practice with short ropes back then, because what the coach aims is the upper body strength. I used to shorten my ropes.
But it's like a boxer.
I used to shorten my ropes, but my trainer scolded me because it makes things easier. No. Yeah. So yeah, I use long ropes so that when you do the double unders with the long ropes, it's really, you know, hard challenging. Task. Yeah, challenging. A challenging task. So I continued on with my competitiveness level with lawn tennis, and always have my jump rope and my backpack. And
did you pursue anything, any sponsorships or anything in that direction?
Okay, so, back when I was around senior high school in Ateneo de Naga, we get these constant support from the city hall of Naga City. We get our sponsors with some rackets, but I usually don't, accept those rackets, because I have my own. My dad, the
baseball
that really
takes.
I have the right gear, because whenever you have the other racket, like, it changes everything. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It changes everything. Yeah. So. We always get these sponsors, like the jackets, just to represent the city, the Naga City, Ateneo de Naga. Get the sponsors for our shoes, our gears, but nonetheless, I use my own because that's what I'm used to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, when you're competing, you gotta use what you're most comfortable with.
Yeah,
for sure.
Of course.
It's really, you know, man, it's really interesting that you say this because, I honestly, you've reminded me of things that I kind of forget about. And when I was younger, when I was starting to jump rope, I also was told that I had sport-induced asthma.
Which,
to be honest with you, at this point, like, I don't really know. Like, I've never had an asthma attack, so I don't really know what that means exactly. I don't remember things being that crazy, but yeah, like, that's funny that you mentioned that, because I honestly kind of forgot that that was the case. That's interesting, dude. So, with that piece, with the asthma piece, did it go away with doing sports and staying active? Were there things that you had to do to maintain it, or to maintain not having it?
Okay, so constantly, even at my age, I still experience severe asthmatic things that, you know, gets in the way. So I have my still have my inhalers with me. But
gotcha.
What I do is, whenever I don't exercise, the asthma really, you know, interrupts with my health. So I really need to set up what I can do in a week. So I have to set up how I work out, because the exercises that I do, it really controls how I breathe. So with jump rope, I need to do some things like high intensity interval trainings, because it helps me, you know, get the breathe out, get the oxygen inside my body, and force myself to, you know, release everything, inside my body. So that's
really interesting, man. So how do you then, like, I'm curious to keep going on this track of detail of how is it that you, like, does that affect your jumping negatively, or is jump rope kind of your tool that you use mostly to keep the asthma from flaring up? I'm really interested how that plays a role with your jumping and with other fitness, but it sounds like jumping is more primary at the moment.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, because of my asthma, it really drives me to get my rope every single time, because I'll rather tire myself with asthma rather than, you know, have these asthmatic interruptions or asthmatic attacks in the middle of the night. So whenever I do some jump ropes, I feel as more.
Oh, that'll happen in the middle of the night?
Yeah, sometimes in the middle of the night. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So that's really saving you big time.
Yeah, it is. So yeah. So in all honesty, jump rope has saved my life. Tennis jump rope has saved my life. So
did you use tennis? So before you were jumping, I mean, obviously you said you were using jump rope while you were doing your conditioning for tennis. Did that over the years serve the same purpose? Was that also helping with the asthma?
Yeah, it is. Because tennis and jump rope has like some similar, you know, intensity when it comes to, you know, sprinting. Whenever we do some triple unders, I kind of coordinate it and with what I do when I sprint in the tennis court when we're going to go to the net. Yeah, so I believe both has a lot of contrast into it when it comes to intensity, which really, you know, controls and helps my asthma.
Wow, man, that's really got a huge benefit for you. That's really awesome. So, okay, interesting. So you're playing tennis from when you were a young guy, and you're doing it all these years. That was the main focus all the way up throughout high school. And then when you went to university, is that when you started doing these different events, the triathlon and the obstacle course racing?
Yeah. Because I want to do something.
What made you want to do that? Because that's like way different.
Yeah, it is. It is way different. So as much as I don't want to admit it, in the sport of tennis, height is might. So yeah, when it comes to basketball, when it comes to tennis, it really plays a big part when it comes to your serving and your forehand and backhand. And in my part, I don't know if I can sustain that competitiveness for long. I know we have these a lot of wonderful tennis players that are not even with great height, but when it comes to a lot of realizations and so forth, I kind of realized that I want to explore other things and explore what kind of competitiveness level I can witness in other sports, because competitiveness in the sport of tennis was really, really a roller coaster ride back then. And yeah, you get to see these players, which is like really huge, and it's like, okay, I don't know if I can score with this guy.
Yeah, right.
I also have a lot of players here from the US too, so I was like, okay, I'll try my best. And as an athlete, I want to explore what it feels like to be in a competitive scene in other types of sport. And with swimming, with a triathlon, with obstacle course racing, I can see a lot of major differences, like a lot of major differences. Because in the sport of tennis, you get to play in a duel, like only the two of you, or in doubles. But in the sport of the multi-sport scene, I kind of see how teamwork plays along. I kind of see how a race really plays out in a competitive scene. So it's also a major realization from then on.
So you're really doing so many different sports. You're really digging into it. I want to kind of go down a little bit of a side tangent here, because throughout discussing all of this and from my own experience, watching you jump and watching you progress and having coached you, I've seen that you really stick to things hardcore. There's this pattern of discipline, right? There's this pattern. Clearly you've been in the tennis world doing that for many, many years and working really hard. You've gone and found new sports that are also really hard, and you spend hours every day jumping, and you're not only, you know, there's not only a high level of intensity, but you're also very, very consistent all the time. Where do you think that discipline comes from? And I know that maybe there's not something immediately that comes to mind, but I'm really curious to kind of pick apart where that may have started.
Like any other people, other jumpers, apparently, we start with during the lockdown and don't have anything to do. And contact sports is a no-no at the start of the, you know, quarantine and the lockdown. So what drive me really into the jump rope scene is, of course, I was practicing on my intensity, you know, at first, and my endurance, my stamina endurance when it comes to swimming and cycling and running. But I get to see a lot of people from Instagram, which is, if you can see it, like Jump Manila, and got to see a lot of people involved with the sport. So I told myself, why not explore it? And it's going to take so long. So maybe I can improve myself in a matter of months with this new profound sport. And considering that I'm also an athlete who really explores a lot of things. So, what I did was I went back and, you know, searched from YouTube again, from the official Jump Rope Dudes to, you know, Rush Athletics, the typical.
And,
yeah,
and
the
you program. Did this at the beginning, yeah, of the beginning of lockdown?
Yeah, it's the beginning of lockdown. So mm-hmm. I tried to practice all those crisscrosses things, you know, boxing style workouts. And then later.
Okay, hold on a second. You're telling me that you started training all of these freestyle skills around March of this year.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, from March of this year.
Okay. So you're telling me in 6 months you've gone from doing double unders and basic jumping and a little bit of footwork with tennis, and in these 6 months you've learned to do some triple under and quadruple yeah. under skills,
yeah.
like a TJ.
Yeah,
dude, that's insane. I knew that you were newer to jump rope, but I didn't realize that you started. So what skills did you know how to do at in March before you started looking into freestyle? Did you literally only have double under, single under, and some footwork?
Apparently, exactly. I only have single bounce and double unders, and my footwork's kind of crap before. But yeah, those are all the tricks that I knew before.
Dude, you're wild.
Thank you so much, Coach.
at the moment that we're chatting, you're pulling a few different quadruple under skills, not just swing cross open, but I've seen you do some wrapping cross quads. Yeah. I've seen you do, obviously, you've got your TJ, you do push-ups, you have a lot of crossing skills and awesome annies and stuff, and you have a mic and everything. I had no idea that you learned it that quickly. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, gosh. When you're so obsessed with something, you don't know where it would bring you. So yeah.
Let's dig into that obsession for a second. So what did that look like? Did you, you said you're Googling, you're looking up these things, Jump Rope Dudes, Rush, you're digging into the knowledge base out there. Was that just an everyday you were just like on it and like researching and looking things up for months on end?
Yeah, I did. I was just focusing on those two channels since they're one of the two of the most popular jump rope channels in YouTube. And yeah, it's also amazing because I get to also practice my basics, like my basic jumps and basic crosses, some EBs from Rush. And I thought from then on that was like the end of the line for jump rope for me. I said, okay, this jump rope thing is really fun. Until I get to scroll down more and get to see these kind of freestyle jump rope competitions in YouTube. It was like, wait, who's this LJ? Who's this Nick Woodard thing? And yeah. And then, I binge watched some YouTube clips from them, like their partner, single rope partner freestyle. That was unbelievable. Yeah. And I was like dropping my jaw at the whole video. And
yep.
And I asked myself, why not discover this kind of tricks? And then Chris Walker, Coach Chris, then kind of messaged me and saw my mic video and told me, okay, this is how you fix this and all. And I get to see his account too and see, oh, these are the things that you do in the basics before you do all the freestyle competitions and stuff. I was like, mm-hmm. why not go ahead and try and attempt these tricks? Then mm-hmm. I got really awkward doing the toad and doing the yeah, it was amazing. Yet it's like, am I doing this kind of things and perfectly or with perfect form? So from then on, yeah, I met you, Coach, and some jumpers like Miro 8 and Ridge Robson, which literally dropped my jaws while watching them. So knowing that you can be at that kind of athleticism, combining gymnastics with jump rope and all the flips and all the wraps and all the maneuvers, I say, hell yeah, let's go with that sport. Really, it makes me imagine what I could be or what potential that I can reach if I went on to that kind of path. And somehow I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying jump rope in that kind of scene, unlocking these triples and these quads. It makes me feel alive. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally feel that. Did you... the feeling alive thing. Yeah. Yes. I really understand that feeling. So you were saying that before. So just before you, discovered LJ and Nick, you felt or you thought that those few basic skills that you were seeing, that was all there was. That was only those were the limits to jump rope basically.
Yeah, I thought the only limits, thought the Rush thing, the boxing style, that was the pinnacle of jump rope. But then, yeah, it totally blew my mind that you can be of such high quality of athleticism. So, yeah.
There's so many different things that you can like put together and stuff. So this is interesting because I want to ask you about creativity, because as you're describing this process of learning new skills and being excited to unlock new skills and try different things out and explore this wide variety. It's interesting because that idea, I feel like I'm wondering if that pops up anywhere else because, you seem to have tested out at this point a good set of different types of sports. And we've talked offline as well about your major and what you're studying in university. I'm curious if you think that there, and maybe the answer is no, we move past this, but I'm curious if you feel that there are any similarities in the way you kind of approach different activities. And I'm asking that because maybe a good way to kind of dig into this question is actually to start by discussing kind of a little bit more of the detail of what you're doing in your major. If you actually enjoy it. I mean, I think we talked about it before that you do enjoy it, but yeah. So what are kind of some of the details of what you're studying in your major?
So in computer information systems, we do these programming for business applications. And one thing that I can conclude in this kind of course in these programming subjects is the aspect of trial and error. And yeah, the aspect of trial and error. So
what languages do you use the most?
I use the language C++. And gotcha. C++ and C for now, since it's just my freshman year. And gotcha. The application of trial and error in these kind of programs really makes me feel that, you know, we're doing some kind of course activities, like what you said, like jump rope, like any other kind of sports. We always encounter this trial and error, you know, age or when it comes to these kind of activities. So with computer information systems, it gives me an idea how things actually work in reality of these kind of businesses with the application of an evolving technology. And it makes me realize that we're going through an information technology age, that everything is in digital form. And it really shapes us. It really shapes the world, the 21st century, and gives us an overview that things work out eventually with the help of coding and programming. And with that in mind, it gives me a way to see life as it is. That we don't always get to see digital age like in a visual way, like in an everyday situation. And imagining things in these kind of aspect, I get to see how the world will be evolving in the next few years and the next upcoming years. And with these involvement of course activities that you've mentioned, the idea of having multi-sport and the aspects of jump rope and lawn tennis has been evolving in the fitness industry as well.
Mm-hmm. How do you, when you're working on, because one of my closest friends is a programmer, and I've dabbled a little bit here and there in a few languages, a tiny, tiny bit of JavaScript, tiny, tiny bit of Python, and a little bit of HTML and CSS for website needs. And I'm wondering if you enjoy the process and what it is about, if that's true that you enjoy it, what it is about the process that you enjoy of working through a program, because working through writing a program, because the first thing you mentioned was that it gets frustrating, right? And trial and error.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you approach that trial and error? And what are your thoughts, your sentiments on the process of learning to be a programmer?
Yeah, as I mentioned, it's really frustrating at first, but you gotta see it as an aspect of like a game, to be honest. Yeah, coding is like, for me, I see it as a game which really develops my logical thinking. So in terms of trial and error, you always get to, you know, picture your codes in a new platform, in my case right now is the command prompts. And there's this underlying tension where every time you code, you get always these failed error codes. And and every
there's always a problem.
Yeah, there's always a problem. And every process of that, you kind of feel like you're a little bit closer than you actually were before. So you kind of feel the process. If I can relate this, if it's okay, I can relate this to jump rope when doing some triples. I kind of relate it to how, if not with those failures from the very start of my attempts with like a triple AS, I wouldn't get into this kind of point or these realizations that all these problems are not to be situated in this kind of coding programs. That inner intelligence or fighting spirit in me makes me want to feel that when a code works, you get that, you know, the feeling of relief.
And yeah, it's a rush.
Relief. Yeah. You work hard for this. You deserve it. Yeah, it's like when you unlock a triple or a quad, you feel alive. Mm-hmm. That's the application of what I also feel when it comes to programming. Yeah, you earn it. I can also relate some jump ropes when it comes to my programming applications. Mm-hmm. Whenever my codes are really messed up, but it worked.
It's gross, yeah, but it still runs.
And I usually tell myself it's gross, but I still got it. Yeah,
well done.
So yeah, it's like I kind of feel the essence of connection with all the things that I'm currently doing with my life.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot, you know, man. I wonder if it's less about the connection between things and more about kind of naturally your mindset and who you are. It sounds like, speaking about the many years of dedication of tennis that set the stage, and then going into a triathlon and obstacle course racing, and then jump rope, you have this series of, this kind of answers the question in my mind of what I was asking a few minutes ago of like, here it is. It sounds like you're the kind of guy that really understands that the tasks or the accomplishments worth accomplishing are the ones that you've had to work hard for.
Yeah, exactly.
And it sounds like you've done that time and again throughout these different sports and testing these things out. Have you had anything that you might mark or consider as, you know, a failure in quotes with tennis or with sport in general?
Oh, okay. That's a good question, Coach. Because I usually live by the quote, ever try, ever fail, no matter, try again, fail better. It's a quote tattooed in the forearm of my tennis idol, Stan Wawrinka. So yeah, it's a similar application when it comes to trial and error. So
that's interesting that Wawrinka is your idol.
Yeah.
For the people that know tennis, that was a very interesting person to pick.
Yeah, he has a massive backhand.
Yeah.
So yeah, with that, his quote just really lived on my head. So every time I ever try, I know I would fail at some point. I know I will fail. I'm expecting to fail every time. But I know every failure attempts that I do, I fail better. So that's what I accept. That's what my life's motto is. So whenever I fail, whenever I don't get that triple from this day, I know I may fail again, but I know that I may fail better.
That is such an important thing to think and believe, because that basically sets you up to be consistently optimistic moving forward. That means you're ready to take on all of the, again, failures in quotes, or the obstacles that are in front of you, right? What you're describing is really reminding me of the conversation I had with Noel about, I mean, he does obstacle course racing as well. And we were joking that he literally runs into problems, you know what I mean? Like, that's what he does with his sport. And it's just the way you're describing this is very sounding very similar. And it's interesting that you are it's also very interesting that you have such an intensely optimistic and positive mindset at a young age too. And I think that that's really going to, you know, in jump rope, it's for sure going to be great. But even just in life in general, man, that is going to be so disproportionately useful for you.
Yeah, that's why I'm so excited with the sport of jump rope, because I know I will fail these tricks over and over again. But I know it will be worth it at the end, too.
What was one of the skills that you failed the most at or got really hung up on?
As far as I can remember, triple AS was really, it really was a hell to me.
Was that swing AS open?
Swing AS open, yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, I got a lot of bruises in my right arm from that attempt. Yeah. And
punching yourself.
Yeah, I also like saw a flesh coming out of my skin. I was like, oh my God, was this caused by the triple AS? Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, but... It's right now. It's one of my favorite tricks. Triple A is it kind of feels like a jump rope trick, which like it amazes everyone. Like, wow, you can do that with a jump rope. And
yeah, that's always a good party trick, because it looks very impressive too.
It is, and the fact that it's called a ground cross, which you do mid air, for me, it's really amazing. Yeah, it's counterintuitive, and Triple AS has really, you know, developed me into some kind of a jumper who have helped me build confidence enough, because once you unlock the Triple AS, you want to unlock the Triple CL, because it's kind of similar in a case. So yeah, every time I got to unlock a new triple, it makes me go back to the past where I managed to have a difficulty with Triple AS, but it gives you a sight of relief that because of your endless practices with that trick that troubled you the most, it makes you feel confident in unlocking these tricks. Like, I have unlocked the AS, why not the CL? Why not the EBTJ and all the underneath variation crosses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. It's really astounding to how quickly you have not only learned these skills, but also sharpened them. And for people who haven't seen you jump or haven't followed you, A, they should. And B, what's interesting is that, you know, you, obviously we've worked together in a coaching situation. It has been insane to watch how quickly you take feedback and apply it.
Yeah.
And take a TJ that is brand new and tighten it up and refine it and make it a little bit sharper and a little bit cleaner. And then week after week, it's like, it's an unrecognizable TJ. Like if I was watching a silhouette of form, I would not be able to see that it was also you. Right. And it's incredible. This mindset that you have, ever try, ever fail, this always moving forward, always seeking out the next rep in order to, I try again and again and again. It's very much paying off big time.
Yeah, 100% coach. When you coached me, when it comes to, you know, the TJ, when you should divide yourself in having a toad swing, you should go back to your basics and train for efficiency and train for completion. I kind of see the major difference of failing over and over again when it comes to training for efficiency. And yeah, the trip really troubled me the most. But but when you see yourself, you know, dividing these tricks, the swing toad open, you get a visualization that you're just gonna do it all in one jump. Just put your chest up, you know, and put your chest up and smile. That's all about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is.
Yes.
No, that's funny, man. It's funny when you said, you know, that was my biggest trouble or my trouble spot. Like in my mind, I was like, what are you talking about? You fixed that in like a week. You're like, I didn't get it in 5 minutes. It was a trouble spot. And I'm like, nah, dude, you're good. So what do you, you know, we're 6-7 months, 5 years into lockdown at this point. I'm just kidding on the 5 years.
Hopefully not, coach.
Right. So you're this far, and you've learned a tremendous amount of skills and really accelerated very, very quickly in a short amount of time. What are you hoping to accomplish with Jump Rope in the future?
Actually, I've been thinking a lot of this a couple of months, and I really, really enjoy this sport, and I'm planning to compete in this sport in the future. Hopefully, represent the Philippines in the Philippine Jump Rope Association. I'm adding in that competitive scene level. And if, in God's grace, I would also want to be a type of athlete who encourages a lot of people, especially here in the Philippines, to be part of this wonderful community, wonderful jump rope community, and invite these jump rope people, because I certainly believe that Filipinos have a lot of potential to be competing in this type of sport. And I want to see myself in the future to be in a team with full-fledged athletes who have these competitive level in mind, and have these, you know, practices that we can coordinate. And we also have these wonderful jumpers that has pioneered the Philippine jump rope scene, which is, I'm going to call him out, IJ Delarmente, if you know him, coach. Yeah. And I kind of want to see myself in a scene where in the jump rope team, we are formed into aspects such as jump rope teams from different countries around the globe. And I want the jump rope team to have more exposure, more exposure in the sports scene as well as like in the Olympics and so. And I want to stick to the sport, to be honest. Like this, yeah, I'm afraid I might change sport again. But
We got you this time.
Yeah, and the community is just really well renowned that. I think I have a good feeling about these wonderful sport, and I believe I can be of great contribution, as well as how the community would be of great contribution to my end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I really feel that the jump rope scene in the Philippines, it has exploded already, and in the entire world, jump rope has exploded. But I really feel like the community there is going to really, really catch some steam, catch some wind, really grow tremendously over the next few years. I, with all the work that's being done from an organizational standpoint, with all the work that's being done on the ground level, from jumper to jumper, like you're doing, right? I really feel like it's going to be, I think it's a matter of just knowledge and sharing information. And as long as that's consistent and growing, I think we're gonna see not only a huge amount of jumpers, but also I would suspect a large amount of competitive jump ropers and teams starting to sprout up in the Philippines as well.
Yeah, it's
especially if you're in there helping do that. But since you're so hardworking, you're just gonna get in there and make it happen.
I wish it's not too late though, because yeah, a lot of jumpers started in the very, very young age, and I'm still out there, you know, mastering and polishing everything I need.
No, I hear what you're saying. But at the same time, to be honest with you, I think what I'm honestly most excited to see happen in jump rope, many things, but one of the top things I'm very excited to see is I think that we're going to start to see a very sophisticated recreational side of competitive jump rope start to develop. So this sweet spot of folks like yourself that want to go compete, want to have teams, want to do this, you know, on the weekends or once a month or whatever the time is, but don't necessarily want to go be world champions and go train to be a world champion, right? But you want to go and be with leagues and with your recreational teams. And like, I think that is the big thing that's going to come up. And I'm really excited to see show up, because I think there's going to be guys like you. To be honest with you, man, like the amount that you've learned, I think definitely is a factor of your hard work, right? But I really do feel that more people than not are able to learn skills and get up to a level of jumping that is competitive within a relatively short period of time. And I really feel that it's just a matter of getting the right information out in a huge amount of volume. And if that's if that task is completed or being done well, I really think that we're going to start to see a lot of folks like yourself who've been jumping for 4 to 6 months and can start throwing down some of the standard competitive skills like TJs, awesome Annies, mic releases, and legitimate like good sequences that are put together that can then be turned into a competitive routine, you know. And I think that when you say too old, I really wouldn't view it like that at all. To be honest, man, even with your kind of determination and with your kind of like with your positive attitude, like I think that you could potentially get to a very, very high level within the most elite level of competitive jump rope if you chose to truly attack that for a few years, because you're really crushing it. But I think what's going to be even cooler is to see like this new side of competitive jump rope grow and become a thing. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be really, really neat.
Yeah, I certainly hope so, Coach. I'm really planning to be all out of this sport. It's really enjoyable, the community, everything, the sport as it is.
What do you feel, or do you feel that jump rope has taught you anything?
Well, like what I said earlier, the applications of trial and error, that's like really the main factor that jump rope has taught me. And because of jump rope and me always get these failures and errors done, I got to see the application of it in real life. So yeah, and whenever I, you know, get errors and get failures when it comes to unlocking these complex tricks, you get to see the point of view that, oh, it's not only in jump rope that you can apply this kind of perspective, but also in mainland life, like, you don't get everything in one go. So when it comes to jump rope teaching me as a person, making myself mature in situations, I usually think that everything comes in a process. Everything comes in a way of developing what you can be. Like in jump rope, you're improving your own fundamentals. What I can see that in life is improving what you can be in a certain person, like what your values could be and how it would bring up to you. And with jump rope, not only with the trial and error part, but it has also taught me that a community can be so loving and so enjoyable at the same time. Yeah, and it has taught me to engage to a lot of people, make sure I meet a lot of interesting people. And with that, I get to meet a lot of people like away from here, like 5,000 kilometers away from where I'm talking to you right now.
Meeting
a lot of people from Poland, from the European countries, in Spain, and like Alberto. Yeah, he's a massive beast. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
he is. And no,
shout out Alberto.
Shout out Alberto. Hola. Hola, hermano. And yeah, with the application of jump rope, I kind of engage it to how I can see it in a community basis. Like in the Philippine jump rope community, we engage a lot. I can't imagine how I can be engageful in this community. And with the sport of jump rope, we kind of engage to these kind of situations, such as the typhoons, the COVID pandemic. We tried ourselves to collaborate and get donations and funds to help one another, to help each other, to help other countries, and most importantly, to help our fellow countrymen.
Honestly, dude, that's just so good. you are wise beyond your years, my man. Honestly, dude, this has been such a good conversation. Like, I've really, really been enjoying this. I knew this was going to be really great. I think now would be a good time to kind of work towards wrapping up and ask you the last main question of the podcast, which, you know, is what is jump rope to you?
Okay, I really prepared for this, Coach. Don't get me.
Nice. Yeah.
But certainly from the bottom of my heart, jump rope is not only a sport that you can engage to a lot of people to a lot of things, but it's a process of life. It's what life it truly is. It's how I see life as a journey. We don't get to the complex tricks or complex actions immediately. You have to start from the bottom. We have to make sure we master ourselves, practice our values, practice what we truly preach. And with the sport of jump rope, it has taught me that everything is in a part of a process. Everything is, you're going to expect a lot of failures, whether or not it's a job, it's a core subject that you are currently taking, whether or not it's your age fading you to do so. Everything is where they should be, and everything is how they could be. And it's for you, it's your own action or your own application in life to change what it can be and do what you ought to be to become better individuals and better athletes in the future. So with the applications of jump rope, it has linked me to a lot of people, a lot of wonderful and exciting people. And it has given me the thought that the humanity hasn't really suffered much yet or hasn't really given up on me yet, because a lot of these wonderful people are currently, collaborating and making themselves better persons each day. And as an athlete, as a person who truly admires the sport of jump rope and the sport of the fitness world, it gives me an ideology that the sport of sport community can be of big impact, not just only for own countries, but for the whole world as well. So for jump rope, it gives me a new life, gives me a new chapter in life set up on a journey on. I am so excited to open more what it is to come, because no matter how many trial and errors that I faced throughout that chapter, throughout that journey when it comes to jump rope and when it comes to life, I know that I may fail, but I know that every now and then, every failed attempts that I do, I know that I will fail better.
Hey, before you go, I just wanted to say one last thing. One of my main goals for this podcast is to share the stories of other jumpers and provide a full picture about everything that's possible with a jump rope. The more people that hear this, the better. And it would really help me out if you sent this podcast to somebody you know, whether in real life or digitally on Instagram, Facebook, whatever platform you use. It would mean the world to me. So that's it. I hope you have a great rest of your day, night, lunch, evening, whatever time it is for you right now. See you later.